I'm Andrew from the Dad.io podcast. Life supplies the inputs and we supply the outputs. Part of the Going to Geek network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic and amazing geeky shows at goingtogeeknetwork.com.
Stand by for a brand new episode of All Things Good and Nerdy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to episode 404 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. This is recorded live on Sunday, May 31st, 2020. This would be behind a show where I normally go and, you know, introduce the rest of my co-hosts. Yeah, I believe they're both feeling a little under the weather like I was last week, so they are not here this week. This will be the, as we put it, the elusive solo show that happens from time to time. It will obviously not be 90 minutes long, but I will cover a little bit of stuff because we didn't want to leave you guys going 2 weeks without a little All Things Good and Nerdy content. So I'm Chris. Normally joining me would be my other co-hosts, Willie Nelson and Anthony Bachman. Like I said, they are not here this week, so it is just me, and I will apologize in advance because if you see me look over my left shoulder like this, it means I'm looking at the laptop I have set up next to my desk that has the SpaceX live stream on it as the Crew Dragon orbital, as the Crew Dragon ship is now docking with the space station as we speak right now, and they should be opening the doors between the two vessels. So I will try my best not to get distracted. No guarantees, however, because, yeah, limited attention span, things like that. Before kicking off and getting any of the news, anything like that, like I said, we weren't here last week. That was my fault. I was feeling under the weather, so my apologies on that one. And if you're not familiar with the show and you're tuning in on a Sunday morning because you're trying to figure out what's going on, normally it's myself and some co-hosts and occasionally some guest hosts that get on and talk about some of the cool, geekier, nerdy news that's popped up here in the past week, share it with you guys, share what we think is some witty banter between ourselves, and then just kind of go along our merry way. We are not necessarily a show that touches on current events, things like that, because we try to think of ourselves as a show that presents some things to function as a distraction. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that there's a lot of things going on here in the United States where we record this. Myself and my co-hosts were based out of the United States. We are not the best equipped to be able to speak to any of the injustices, the protests, anything like that that's going on. Do know that a lot of us have been watching them. We've been talking about them ourselves. We might be commenting on them from Twitter from time to time, but the show itself, we're not going to use as a platform to discuss what's going on. That's not to say it's not a valid discussion that could be had somewhere, but it doesn't really fit in the name of All Things Good and Nerdy and the tradition we've tried to keep on Sundays, which is let's make it light. Let's make it a break during, at the end of the week to kind of give everyone a chance to go and take a deep breath and kind of step away from everything for at least an hour or so of everything that's going nutty. Don't get me wrong. There's a world of crap going on right now, and it's heartbreaking to watch. I don't know what the right solution is to be able to fix anything myself, and even if I did, I don't think I'm the right person to go and be pushing, here's how we fix things, because no one honestly knows. So please know, we're not going to get into any of the politics or any of the background of what's going on right now in the United States. It's a crap show. I fully acknowledge that, and I wish I knew how to fix things and how to make things better, but it's going to take a lot to do that. So we're going to make sure that the All Things Good and Nerdy show does not touch on any of that stuff, which means I effectively just need to roll on in to the news of the week.
Live from the ATGN studios on the internet, it's the news of the week.
So the news of the week, it's that part of the show where we, which today is me, generally run down what we think is some of the coolest and or most interesting news to have popped up here in the past week or so. There's only one of me right now. I don't think I'm going to be able to go more than 5, maybe 10 minutes on my news story here. So please be prepared unless one of my other folks starts feeling better and hops on. Probably going to be a short news of the week segment this week. Just keep that in the back of your head. So what am I talking about in this week's news of the week? Well, it's another streaming service, the thing we needed the most. I'm sure you guys, if you are cord cutters like myself, or you've just been following the media blitz that's occurred, HBO, owned by Time Warner, yada yada, I don't remember who all they own, just put out their third version of the HBO streaming service on the 27th. So they had HBO Go, which was a service you could use if you had a cable subscription that included HBO. You could log into HBO Go and watch all HBO content, which was the first of their HBO services. They then had HBO Now, which was a service they launched a few years after HBO Go, as best I recall. The intent there was, hey, cord cutters can't consume HBO content. There's a bunch of people pirating Game of Thrones and other HBO shows. How do we get it to them? Well, we'll offer them a $15 a month subscription and the use of an app that is specifically tailored for HBO content, HBO Now. It was a different app than HBO Go and arguably worked better. So HBO Now has been out for a few years. About a year ago, 6 months ago, somewhere in that time frame, 6 to 12 months ago, it's probably closer to 12. HBO, Time Warner specifically, had announced that they were going to be launching a third service, and they were going to call it HBO Max to continue with the naming convention confusion. And what was HBO Max going to be? Well, all of your HBO content, but then also a variety of other content from sources like sources from TNT, sources from all these other Time Warner-owned channels, and any kind of television shows they may have purchased the streaming rights to. For instance, they have the streaming rights to Friends. That's a big deal to a lot of people. Myself, don't really care, never was a Friends fan. They had the streaming rights to Big Bang Theory exclusively. No one else can stream it. They just signed the rights to Young Sheldon. So they do have some exclusive content, and I think they launched out with like 4 exclusive shows when HBO Max launched on Wednesday. But to say it's been a mess figuring everything out would be charitable. There was a lot of talk as it came close to the service launching that if you have HBO already, you'll get HBO Max for free. It's just a free upgrade. And in fact, if you had the HBO Now app on most devices, keep in mind I said most devices, then it would just automatically upgrade on the 27th and be the HBO Now app. I'll come back to that point. So effectively, they replaced the HBO Now service with HBO Max. See, the naming convention is really screwing with me. That's why I had a brain fart there. Okay, so we've only got one, and if I have a subscription currently, I should be able to log into it. So if I'm subscribed through my cable company, or I'm subscribed through Apple Channels, or something like that, it should just be started up and you're good to go. And for the most part, it was. But here's where it got confusing, is if you had certain AT&T wireless plans or certain AT&T TV plans, then you would get HBO Max for free. But not necessarily all plans that had HBO currently. This is where I got very confused because I have an older AT&T unlimited plan myself. It's like unlimited premiere or something or other that gave me HBO free each month. And it gave me HBO Go to do that. That's the service I logged into. I logged in with my AT&T account and it just worked. So when they started putting all of their literature, I almost said propaganda, but when they started putting all their literature out about who would get HBO Max, my plan was not one of those ones that was mentioned. There was another version of mobile wireless unlimited plans or something like that. And I went, well, I don't know if this means I get it. And to be honest, if I didn't, it wasn't exactly the end of the world. I still had HBO Go, which I was using to watch HBO content, and that wasn't going anywhere. But I kind of wanted to see what was on HBO Max. So I'd reached out on the subreddit at r/HBO Max. I'd reached out on Facebook customer support, Twitter customer support. I heard nothing back. And then eventually, a day before the service launched, I got an email that says, hey, you get HBO Max for free based off of your AT&T wireless plan. And I went, well, I guess we'll see what happens. So the 27th rolls around. I go downstairs. I'm getting ready for work. About 5 minutes before work, I bust out my iPad and I go, okay, let me try this and see how it works. Download the HBO Max app because I had the HBO Go app on my iPad because I was not a Now subscriber. Notice this naming convention, complete pain in the butt to be able to talk about. It downloaded successfully, opened it, went to my login screen, told it I had an AT&T account. It threw me to my AT&T login screen. I went, okay, here's where the adventure happens. We'll see if this actually works or not. And surprisingly enough, since I started early in the day, it worked pretty well for me. I got logged in immediately. It brought up HBO Max. I spent about 3 minutes just scrolling through and went, huh, there's a bunch of stuff there. And it looks a lot like HBO Go, the app does. Okay, that's great. I'll come back and look at it this afternoon after I get done at work. Evidently, during that time, after I had logged in, a bunch of other folks had started logging in, and it kind of broke something. And there were a lot of AT&T wireless subscribers that weren't able to actually log in to HBO Now. When it would go to the HBO site to log in, then the accounts wouldn't link or something strange like that. It was a pain in the butt, and I saw a lot of complaints about it on Twitter and on the HBO Max subreddit. Excuse me a second there. Solo show, so I gotta take a break to get my water. So I got logged in. I saw a bunch of other complaints about folks that couldn't. And I kind of just put it at the back of my head because it's like, I'm not going to worry about this right now. There's nothing I have to watch immediately on HBO Max, because really the only HBO shows I was watching from week to week was Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And I was getting caught up on Avenue 5, which I'll talk about at a later date. So I wasn't super concerned, but there were a lot of other folks who were. Now, what did get interesting about HBO Max, and where I think they have a problem, is I'd been following just kind of on the sidelines about what devices you'd be able to get the HBO Max app on. It seems like pretty much any of your mobile devices, an Apple phone, Android phone, also Apple and Android tablets, you were good to go. You could stream there. And I went, okay, well, what set-top boxes can I stream on? Because in my house, I have an Apple TV, I have a Shield TV, which are both connected to the same television. There's a reason I mentioned that. I have a Fire TV stick and a Roku box connected to my other two TVs that are in the house. So I fire it up. I start reading into things. Like, okay, it's supported on Android TV. I'm good to go because my NVIDIA Shield's my primary streaming box. I go, okay, good. It's supported on Apple TV because that's my backup box. That's my secondary box because there's some content that is either presented better on Apple TV or just you can only get on Apple TV. And I went, well, what about my Roku that's upstairs in the bedroom? What if we want to start a movie downstairs, be like, oh, we're tired, we're going to go to bed? Roku not supported. And I went, well, that's really strange. And then I went, well, what about the Amazon Fire TV? I have a backup Fire TV stick that I keep in my travel bag. I can always plug that in for now. Fire TV, not supported. So HBO Max is not supporting, with their app, the two biggest streaming devices on the market today. The market share of the Roku is probably the best, and the Fire TV is probably pretty close behind it because they sell hardware for dirt cheap. Yes, they subsidize that by linking in and giving you ads and stuff on your Rokus and your Fire TVs. That's how they make more money. That's how they bring people into the ecosystem. But HBO Max, Time Warner's big play of, we want to be dominant like Disney Plus and Netflix and all these other things, there's no HBO Max on it. And I kind of scratched my head and went, well, this doesn't make sense. And I started reading a little bit more online that evening after it launched and found out they were still in negotiation to try and figure out how this is going to happen. HBO wanted it on all these devices, but I guess their terms were not something that either Amazon or Roku could agree to. Predominantly, it seems like it's the channels function, whereas there's that Roku app on the Roku itself where it can integrate apps and present information and content of what's being streamed. HBO didn't want to integrate into that or allow people to subscribe through that because then they have to give a cut up to Roku. Similar thing for Amazon Fire TV, because if you do Prime Video channels and stuff like that, you can currently subscribe to HBO through that. I think Amazon takes a cut off the top, but they didn't want to do something similar for HBO Max. Amazon didn't want to change how that worked. So there's no agreement in place, and Time Warner's new biggest app is not something you can find on what are probably the number one and number two most predominant streaming set-top boxes out there. It's kind of a nightmare. Now, there are ways to get around it. If you have a Fire TV, you can sideload on an HBO Max application from the Android side of the house. I don't know if there's a way around it for Roku yet, because honestly, I haven't looked into it too much. And I said, you know, having it on my bedroom TV doesn't matter enough to me that I'm going to figure out how to jailbreak my Roku or some nonsense like that, or put an extra box on there permanently. At some point in time, money talks, Roku, Amazon, and HBO / Time Warner will all get on the same page and we'll have all of these apps on all of these devices. So that was one of the things I ran into. Pulling up this article I was looking at on Gizmodo, you can get it directly through, HBO Now and HBO Max. You can get through Apple, AT&T, DirecTV, Google, Hulu, Samsung, Optimum, Spectrum, Suddenlink, Verizon, Fios, and then they announced Comcast Xfinity. So if you subscribed to HBO through that, you should get HBO Next. Like I'd mentioned, we don't have it on those two streaming devices, the Fire TV stick and the Roku. By all indications, it looks like HBO Now will go away once these deals have gotten done. Because like I mentioned, the HBO Now app on, say, my Apple TV and my Android Shield TVs was replaced with HBO Max. So effectively, they're going to replace HBO Now, but they can't because they don't have deals in with two other streaming boxes. So there's still going to be an HBO Now environment out there. It's going to be a pain in the butt. So let's get into what's actually in the streaming service, some of the details on it. It's got a lot of content, but I don't know that it's necessarily a lot of content I care about. I remember when they originally announced it, they said, oh, it's going to be the hub for all of these DC movies and stuff like that. All of these Superman movies, all the Batman movies, things like that. No Superman movies on there at launch. most of the Batman movies, not the Nolan trilogy on there at launch, which is arguably what a lot of people would be more interested in than, say, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, things like that. There's hubs on there for content from DC, Turner Classic Movies, Studio Ghibli, Crunchyroll, things like that. And you can go there and view that content. There's an Adult Swim hub. You can open that up. There's not a lot of content there from Adult Swim. You got 10 seasons of, Robot Chicken. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. You've got the first 3 seasons of Rick and Morty. You've got some old Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But they didn't go deep in the back catalog. I didn't, like, see C-Lab 2021 in there, anything like that. I kind of scratched my head and went, there seems like there should be a lot more stuff here. You do have all of your HBO stuff. That's perfectly fine. If you had HBO Now, all that same HBO content is still presented in HBO Max under an HBO hub. If you go to the DC hub, you get some DC movies. You don't get any of the DC Universe content that's in a separate app, aside from Doom Patrol, because they wanted to get more eyes on that. But if you wanted to watch, say, Young Justice or Batman the Animated Series, all of that stuff is on a separate app that Time Warner owns, which is the DC Universe Online app. So I was really looking forward to trying to go back in and rewatch Young Justice and then watch the last season of Young Justice that I hadn't seen. Not available. That was annoying. I guess that's the best way of putting it. Now, they do allow you to have multiple profiles, things like that. I have a profile for myself, my wife. There's also a kids profile that can be locked down so that your kids can only access kid-appropriate content. So that would be things like the Cartoon Network hub, the Looney Tunes exclusive things, the Sesame Street content that HBO now owns. So it would limit them to parentally restricted content. That's cool. That's a nice thing to have. Disney Plus does something similar. But there's some really big holes here. I mean, really big holes when it comes to stuff. Batman and Superman releases from the last 4 decades, they don't have everything there, like I mentioned. They're supposed to have every DC film from the last 10 years, but they don't really have as much as they'd promised. I'm not a huge anime person, but from folks that were looking at the anime content, there's no closed captions or dub versions of any of the Crunchyroll content, which they say is pretty lean. So don't cancel your actual Crunchyroll account is what it comes down to. Sorry about that, guys. Now, here's the one that really just kind of made me scratch my head and go, what are they thinking? And I'm being very downish on HBO Max just because in comparison to the other services we've had out there, especially in today's world, I don't think it's offering as much. And yes, I realize Disney Plus had issues at launch. They did. HBO Max does as well. But Disney Plus, I think, has rallied better now. And that's not to say HBO Max won't rally. But one of the things that Disney Plus did have at launch that I really liked because I've built a home theater in my house is 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos content. Meaning if you wanted to go watch, say, Avengers Endgame or some of the other newer content on Disney Plus, it was there in 4K, HDR, and generally with Dolby Atmos sound, which is the top end of things when it comes to home theater streaming. There's nothing on HBO Max that's presented in 4K, HDR, or with Dolby Atmos sound. Everything is presented in 1080p, and it seems to be a slightly lower bitrate stream than you would like. So it's not as crisp, not as clean, and it's only 5.1 surround sound. Now, I realize for the vast majority of people, 1080p, 5.1 sound, that's plenty fine. But for folks like myself who have built themselves a home theater system that they like to refer to in their mind as bitchin' because of how much fun it is and the sound it puts out, saying I can go and watch all of these DC movies on day one or these new series on day one, well, yeah, I can watch them in 1080p with 5.1 surround sound. Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, they're all putting content out. They all have exclusive content, and in Disney Plus's case, exclusive content they released on day one that was 4K, HDR, or Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos sound. Kind of a big deal in today's world, and these guys didn't have it. That's the perils of the solo show, guys, is I start to lose my voice after I talk for too much. Like I was saying, though, HBO Max doesn't have any of these higher-end video codecs, video formats, things like that. And there's not really anything explicitly said on their site that's coming soon, anything like that. I guess people had found comments that made it look like it would be on their roadmap at some point in time, but there's no definitive date on saying, hey, if you want to watch Justice League in 4K HDR in the best format possible on HBO Max, we'll have it available on this date. Right now you've got it in 1080p 5.1 surround sound. Like I mentioned, it's fine for most people, but in theory, I could just go on the Apple iTunes store or the Vudu store or any of these other services, rent Justice League for $3 and have it in better video and audio quality than is presented on HBO Max. That's kind of annoying. I will say HBO Max has a huge back catalog of all the Turner classic movies. So if you're a fan of classic movies, things like that, you're going to find tons of cool stuff on there. Feel free to go check that out. I'm not a huge classic video person, but I went and scrolled through and holy cow, there is a crap load of content on here. Sorry, I'm trying to find some other stuff I was looking at. One of the other things that I did notice on there on HBO Max is they promised a lot of things when it was originally announced, content-wise, and it seemed like that might have been missing. There's another article on Gizmodo, which they called HBO Max Botched Its Launch Day List 2. This is by Katie Keck, published on Friday at 12:10 p.m. And they say in there, there was a cached version of the May 20th release that was dug up by The Verge, which Warner Media has removed from their site. Max was supposed to have quite a few titles that were mysteriously missing from the service this week. Some of those titles include things that are currently available. Some of those blockbuster titles that Max said were currently available included The Bodyguard, The Dark Knight, as well as, quote, all, end quote, DC live-action movies from the past 10 years, The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, the other two in the trilogy are already available, The Iron Giant, Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, The Matrix Trilogy, Ocean's 11, Shawshank Redemption, and When Harry Met Sally. None of those are there, is what it comes down to. Now, kudos to them, they never promised the Harry Potter movies. All the Harry Potter movies are on there from day one, which is great if you're a Harry Potter fan, where your kids are, things like that. So Gizmodo asked Warner Media earlier this week about the absence of the Dark Knight trilogy. A spokesman said the films would be available on the platform within our first year of launch, but did not specify a specific date. They were then asked about the scrubbed list on Friday, and a spokesman attributed that issue to human error, saying, "It was called to our attention a few days ago. The document on our press room listed some titles that shouldn't have been there, nothing more than a human error, and we are editing the list for accuracy. The titles we mentioned are still coming to HBO Max, just not on day one." So there's a lot of content that was promised when they announced the service was coming. Not there. And I'm sure other services have had similar problems, but we're in a world now where there's so many of these services out there, and it's a month-to-month thing, that if I try this thing out and go, well, this doesn't have any of the stuff that I was told I would have on here, why do I want it? I turn off the connection, and until you do something to drag me back in or make me more interested, I'm out. I don't know what's going to happen in regards to that for most people. Now, there are a lot of folks who had HBO already, and it's a free upgrade to HBO Max, and they're still getting all the HBO stuff they want. That's great. They'll stick with it. That's probably going to artificially inflate these HBO Max numbers some. Don't get me wrong. Before someone throws the Disney Plus did some similar stuff. Yes, I know. Verizon Wireless gave people a year free of Disney Plus. There were other services they had out there that were helping to pump up those numbers at launch. It's not unheard of. But I do think that even though Disney Plus had some issues at launch too, like not having a continue where left off, having login issues, things like that, I think the House of Mouse's launch might have been better. And I think their back catalog, while it may not be denser, they met most of the promises they made on the stuff that was going to be available on day one. So yeah, HBO Max, if you like HBO content, it's got all of that stuff. Feel free to use it. If you're already an HBO subscriber, it's free. Go for it. There's just not a ton of stuff in the back catalog yet that really appealed to me to be like, aside from non-HBO content, let me clarify, made me go, oh my God, I have to have this. And like I said, someone who's kind of an AV snob after building up my own home theater, I'm still scratching my head at the fact that there's no 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos stuff, and there's nothing on the roadmap about it. And that's kind of a big deal on a lot of these things. I mean, one of the big things Disney pushed with Disney Plus is we have this. Amazon Prime has now pushed a lot of their original content is in 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, stuff like that. I think there are some episodes of Game of Thrones from the way people have described it, or Westworld, that would be absolutely gorgeous in 4K HDR. In fact, I have Westworld Season 1 sitting up on my bookshelf on 4K discs. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I own it, so I know it is possible. They have done a lot of these things in 4K. They just don't present them anywhere for folks to watch, and I would hope that you could say, hey, our premier streaming service is where you can go to see these programs in their highest quality audio and video. It's not the case yet. I'm not saying HBO Max is a bad service. I don't think it is. I just don't think it promised quite everything it was supposed to be doing based off their early literature. And I don't think there's any exclusives that make me go, oh my God, I have to have this service at this point in time. So if you're in the market for another streaming service, there's probably other things that have a bigger back catalog. I'll be interested to see when things like Just Watch and things like that update to have the back catalog of HBO Max on them so that you can figure out what is your primary streaming service to go to. If you're getting HBO already, take the free upgrade. It's great. But if you're someone who has HBO Go with no path up to HBO Max, I don't think you're missing anything, because the best content on HBO Max so far, go figure, is HBO content, which is probably why they named it after HBO. So if you're stuck on HBO Go with no free upgrade, I don't think you're really missing out yet. Now, that could change in the next 6 to 12 months as they start putting more exclusive stuff on there, as the streaming rights come up for some of the stuff that they've got in their back catalog, like the Batman movies, for instance, things like that, and they can fill in. Then you're probably good to go, and you might want to revisit it. I just, like I said, if you want HBO content, pick it up. But other than that, there's not enough there that made me go, oh my gosh, I have to have this. And like I said, had it not been a free upgrade on my HBO, I wouldn't have picked it up. So HBO Max, it's okay, I guess. I have too many streaming services already, so I can tell you if I wasn't getting it for free, this would be the one I would pick up when John Oliver was active, when he went on one of his month-long hiatuses or so, sometimes two, because it's the nature of how it works. I'd be canceling the service until he was back, because no reason to keep it. I was doing the same thing when I had HBO Now many years ago. It was only active when John Oliver was showing his shows. So yeah, I guess that's my early day one impressions on HBO Max, and somehow I made that last like 15 minutes, which I was not expecting. So go me, I guess. This would normally be the part of the show where I'd throw things over to one of my other co-hosts, be like, hey guys, what do you got for us? They're not here, so you're stuck with me. I've already presented my news. I don't really have more news, so that means I'm going to start wrapping up the show. Yeah, 27 minutes in, I'm going to start wrapping it up. How do we wrap up on this show? It's a segment called What I'm Into. It's your chance to share with the folks who are watching live or listening at a later date just what kind of geeky and or nerdy things we've been getting into, so that maybe, just maybe, you might want to go check them out yourselves. That was not a dramatic pause there. That was Chris needed water because his throat was scratchy. Pause there. So, who's going to lead us off? I guess it'll be me, Chris, leading us off with what I've been getting into, which is I finished Upload on Amazon Prime. That was the Robbie Amell-led show with Andy Allo as the female lead. I thought it was hilarious. I really enjoyed it. I came in with this could be interesting expectations. And at the end, I was like, oh man, I can't wait for season two. I have no idea when season two is coming, but I really enjoyed it. For those that aren't familiar, the premise of Upload is there's a digital afterlife. So if you die, for lack of a better term, your brain can be uploaded to server farms and you can live a virtual life in elaborate circumstances, things like that. It is comedic at times. It also has some very serious plot points, and it's some plot points that make you think. I thought it was a great watch. It's some of the best Amazon content I've seen. Up there in enjoyment level with The Boys for me. They're not the same kind of show whatsoever. Please don't link them in anything other than Chris's enjoyment level is high on both of them. That's the best way to link them. I then started on Netflix Space Force with Steve Carell. It's not as good as Upload, obviously. I don't think it's as good as some of their comedies out there. I think they try too hard to lampoon the idea of Space Force, and I don't think the tone is consistent from episode to episode. Sometimes Steve Carell's character is a buffoon. Other times he's super smart and is able to, with the power of words, sway people to his side. I feel like they kind of got something out there to try and capitalize on the fact that a lot of people are like, Space Force, what the heck? And making jokes and things like that. I think there's seeds there that make it look like it could turn into something good. The same guy that helped create The Office and Parks and Rec in the United States, and Upload, actually, is one of the showrunners on Space Force. Most of those shows started out slow from the way people described them to me. So I think it could turn into something entertaining. Whether Netflix gives us that chance or not, I don't know. They've only got like 10 episodes. Morning, Draft's been seeing the chat room right there. But Space Force, I think it's fun. I don't think it's must-watch TV. In fact, I think like half the episodes kind of had me scratching my head going, I'm not sure what they're doing here. I had a few laugh-out-loud moments on it, but just not as good as Upload to me. But in today's time, when there's not a lot of fresh new content coming out, it's worth checking out. It's an expensive show for Netflix to make, by all accounts, because they've got a big cast in it. They've got a well-known and name-recognizable cast. And I guess they spent a lot of money on production and set design and things like that. So it's entirely possible that Netflix could decide that, yeah, as much as this costs, we may not get a season two. They haven't said anything yet. I don't know. I think if they get a season two, you might have some folks that were more on the fence saying, we'll be ready to jump in. And Draftsman's asking in the chat room, how many episodes in are you? I think I just finished episode 6 or 7. They just did the War Games. I just wrapped up the War Games exercise is where I paused last night. So I'm in the back third of what's presented there in Space Force. Oh, and I guess I just spoiled everyone in here by saying they, without explicitly saying who, won War Games. Sorry. Like I said, I thought it was fun. If you have a Netflix subscription, well worth checking out. God, what other stuff have I been getting into? I play way too much Animal Crossing on my Nintendo Switch still because it's incredibly addicting, although that could get to be less because I did pick up on sale this week Dragon Quest XI S Definitive Edition, I think is the name it should be when you put it out all the way. I know Willie's played it, and if he were here, I'd ask him some of his thoughts on it, but it is a Square Enix-led old-school JRPG. It's a lot of fun. I've barely scratched the surface of the plot, and I'm 5 hours in because I keep grinding. I really like it a lot. If you like JRPGs, I think it's the game for you. My wife also bought the Bioshock collection that just hit the Switch this week and said that Bioshock 1 is pretty well redone on the Switch. I've seen other folks playing Bioshock Infinite. They all look pretty. I already own the game like in three different platforms, I think, so probably not going to be buying it again. Draftsman's in the chat room asks if I have DC Direct. I do not, which is one of the things I was talking about earlier on here is that I thought a lot of that DC content was going to be in HBO Max. And other than Doom Patrol, it wasn't. So my hope of being able to watch, say, the latest season of Young Justice, that was dashed because the only place I can find that is on DC Universe's app or whatnot. A draftsman in the chat room saying just checked out the HBO Max selection. It does have more variety outside the HBO library, but not the full DC Direct stuff. Yeah, that was one of the things I had noticed as well. The only thing that is streaming on both series-wise right now is Doom Patrol. And when I started reading on that is because they wanted Doom Patrol to get more eyes on it because it's expensive to make. So if they put it on both HBO Max and the DC Universe app, it put more eyes on it and made it more doable for them to justify an upcoming season of it because of the cost of it. Like I said, I was really hoping for some of the other content on there. I was hoping for the Superman movies. I was hoping for all of the Batman movies to be there because, for instance, the Nolan trilogy is not on there. It really feels like they're kind of just biding their time before they kill off that DC app and then just fold it in HBO Max, because that's a tough sell right now for me to be like, okay, I'm going to buy HBO Max for $15 a month and then I'm going to buy the DC app for, what is it, $7 or $8 a month? It's a lot of money going to one company to try and get all the content that, if you want to make a parallel, you could say Disney doesn't split their content between two different services like that. I mean, I guess sort of they do because the more adult stuff is on Hulu anymore. And then the rest is on Disney Plus. So maybe that analogy doesn't really work very well. I don't know. Other stuff I've been getting into. Still working from home because I've been lucky enough in that regard to get to do that. And that's really about it. This is an awful exciting life I live here right now, guys. That's another thing I forgot. One more thing I did get into actually is yesterday. Well, originally I guess it was on Thursday. I was going to watch Thursday or Friday. I can't remember the date. I was going to watch the rocket launch for SpaceX and NASA, and it was scrubbed due to weather. Well, it did actually happen yesterday, so I was able to join up with Suncast, SP, and Stephen John Drew on a live stream, and we were able to watch the launch together and kind of share it with everyone online. Now, we couldn't go and take any of the SpaceX or NASA feed and put it on our feed to watch, but we could listen to it while everyone else was listening to the same feed and give our impressions. It was incredible to see. I mean, why wouldn't it be? It's fantastic that we're actually launching people into space from Florida again. And it's much as mind-blowing. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, I keep looking over because there's a laptop on the left side of my desk right here that has the SpaceX feed up on it right now as the Crew Dragon is docking with the International Space Station and the astronauts are about to board. Well, they may have already because I may not have noticed while I was chatting. But the astronauts from the Crew Dragon are going to be going onto the ISS today. And it's just fantastic to watch and super interesting to watch. So I'm sure people have already cut down YouTube videos of it, things like that. You can go watch it for yourself online. It's fascinating, captivating. It was one of the highlights of my day, one of the highlights of my week, just because I grew up as a kid that was obsessed with space travel. We all had that phase where we wanted to be an astronaut. I am no different than the rest of you. So actually getting to watch a live launch again, it just blew my mind and it was a ton of fun. Draftsman comments in the chat room, it's pretty cool to see space suits in the mission control from SpaceX. Yeah, their suits are very different than what we came to expect from seeing NASA astronauts wear or NASA wear on their missions. I was reading something, I guess Elon Musk contracted out like some Hollywood costume designer to come up with the original design for the suits. And once the design was made, they then took it to the engineers and said, we need to make something that looks like this, but is practical for space launch. So It's interesting. They're designed to look cool. And let's be honest, they do look cool. The interior of the Crew Dragon rather, also looks cool. There was a really neat meme I saw online that showed like the interior of one of the Apollo capsules, the interior of the space shuttle, and then the interior of the Crew Dragon. And just how the buttons have changed, how the layouts, like the older systems are all very heavily button driven and switch driven and things like that. And you get to the Crew Dragon and it's a few touch screens, a few toggle switches and things like that. And you're like, wow, it's so much of a cleaner interface, things like that. You go, this is crazy. It's like an Apple store threw up inside my spaceship and it works that way. Really neat. It's fascinating. And the fact that we're in the beginning of a new era of space exploration and space travel for mankind, I'm totally cool with it. I'm sure, I know Stargate Pioneer was sharing a lot of his impressions on the Gunna Geek live stream yesterday. It is probably available to rewatch if you go over to youtube.com/GunnaGeek, and he can give you a lot more detail because, you know, he's a rocket scientist than I can on any of the stuff that was going on. Most of yesterday's live stream was me looking at my right monitor going, whoa, that's cool. And forgetting I was on a call with a bunch of other people talking about it because I was just fixated by what was going on the live stream. It was just astounding to me. Super cool. It's one of those things that I wish I could be in Florida myself to have witnessed the rocket launch. But yeah, in light of the COVID-19 issues and things like that, I don't imagine as many people made the trek down to Florida to go watch a launch themselves. And to be honest, it's a pretty great experience from home just based off the high production value that went into that live stream from NASA/SpaceX. Yes, you're not there yourself. You can't feel the boosters firing and the vibration it causes. But man, you get one hell of a view by watching it on the live stream they put out there. So nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. That being said, that's what I've been getting into. I would normally start throwing things to my other hosts and be like, hey, what are you guys been getting into? But like you can see, it's empty. I'm the only one here. I mean, I guess I could go and hit the Willie Nelson button and make it so that Willie was here. Oh, Willie's here. Oh, Willie's here. But that's not really super entertaining. I don't know why I went to the tri-screen there. Force of habit. That being said, I pulled off a solo show that's 40 minutes long, guys. 40-minute long solo show. I'm a little proud of myself because I'm rusty when it comes to doing solo shows. And in the past, when I did a solo show, it was only like 20, 25 minutes. So I think I not to toot my own horn here, I think I did okay. I'm pretty pleased with the length of the show. Before we shut down, Draftsman had commented in regards to my comments about the SpaceX launch and not being able to explain a lot of it because I'm not a rocket scientist. Now, I am an engineer, mind you, but a computer engineer and a biometrics major, so not the same kind of thing. He goes, I know what you mean. I'm a mechanical engineer. I'm able to understand some of the mechanics, fluid dynamics of flight, but the level of space travel are impressive. Yeah, 100% right. It's completely different than anything I ever really studied when I was in school. I remember some of the engineering electives that were out there. I could have done things that would deal with mechanical engineering or things like that that would potentially be applied to space travel. But I went, that sounds hard, and my GPA is already beat up enough. I'm going to take the industrial engineering elective instead of the fluid dynamics one or the thermodynamics one or the EMAG one. Yeah, yeah. Dressman. Craftsman says, Chris is gaining appreciation for performers that have to keep a show going on cam by themselves. That's true. And I don't have the advantage that some of those folks do a show by themselves where I can show off anything that's going to titillate the viewer, because there's nothing here that people are like, oh my God, I need more of Chris on my camera. In fact, they probably want me just to put it back on the splash screen of the podcast logo so that they don't have to see my mug. That being said, though, I am going to start shutting things down here in just a second. Before I do shut down, we do stream live most Sundays, live 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, over on Geeks.live. That is the official streaming home of the Gunna Geek Network. We have an entire back catalog of live shows you can watch over there. If you're on Geeks.live right now, you can scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's a calendar of all of the upcoming live events. Please come check them out yourselves. And if you want to watch the next show, I believe the next live show is June 1st, so tomorrow as I record this, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the official GunnaGeek.com show. You can come check that out. And spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about the rocket launch some, because that's some of the coolest news out there. That being said, though, I am going to shut this stream down. Thank you, Draftsman, for coming in here to keep me company as I rambled out to the internet, and so I wasn't rambling to myself. I'm Chris, and I will see you all next week for another episode of the All Things Good and Nerdy Podcast. Bye,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for listening to this brand new episode of the All Things Good and Nerdy Podcast. Don't forget, we'll be back next Sunday live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, over at live.atgnpodcast.com, channel 3 of the Alpha Geek Radio app, and over at our network home at gunnageek.com/live. If you have any feedback for the show, please contact us, atgnpodcast@gunnageek.com, on our hotline number at 304-806-ATGN, or even better, go to Twitter and send us a message at atgnpodcast. The music you've heard in this show is produced by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com.